الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the things that is incontrovertible when it comes to the deen is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he holds a central position non-parallel. He is truly the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. And he is such an honored personality that even before his coming, all of the prophets, I mean many of the prophets, subhanallah, derived benefit from him before his even coming into the world. Now, starting as far as early as Adam alayhi salam. You look at Adam alayhi salam, and when he committed a mistake out of forgetfulness, and he sought forgiveness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, right? And when he was seeking forgiveness, he used the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that became a conduit, right? It became a means for the acceptance of his forgiveness. Right, because he saw the kalima written upon the arsh or the like, and then he knew that whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen to honor from that time, that was the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jalla, and it was his intelligence, it was his piety that allowed, and his insight that allowed him to beseech in that courteous and meritorious way that earned the maghfirah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jalla. Right from that beginning time, Rasulullah ﷺ, the barakah of Rasulullah ﷺ had already spread into the entire universe. And he was such an honored personality that he was the one who was chosen to lead all of the prophets in salah. Right? Imagine who were the people in that jamaat. The likes of Adam ﷺ, right? The like of Ibrahim ﷺ, Khalilullah, the like of Musa Kalimullah, the like of Isa Ruhullah. I mean, the Ulul Azam, the greatest of the prophets, the greatest of all of mankind, gathered in one masjid on the situation or on the occasion of the Isra, and who was chosen to lead the prayer? None other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, when you just think about that, you just think about the magnitude of who this person was, right? Alayhi salatu wasalam. He was so honored to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal that he took an agreement with the prophets. Right? Again, this is before his even coming. That if he were to come, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ النَّبِيَّ لَمَا أَتَيْتُكُمْ مِنْ كِتَابِ وَحِكْمَةٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْكُمْ مُصَدِّقٌ لِمَّا مَعَكُمْ لَتُؤْمِنُنَّ بِهِ وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّهُ قَالَ أَقْرَرْتُمْ وَأَخَذْتُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكُمْ إِصْرِي قَالُوا أَقْرَرْنَا فَاشْهَدُوا أَنَّ مَعَ ذَلِكُمْ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a covenant, right, from the Anbiya, that if he were to send Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَتُؤْمِنُوا النَّبِيَّ, that you will believe in him, وَلَتَنْصُرُنَّ, and that you shall help him. Right? And if you know the Arabic, you know, you see the lam is for taqid, you have a noon is thaqila. There's a tremendous amount of emphasis in the whole grammatic construction of that passage that shows the gravity. That it doesn't matter if you're Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, it doesn't matter if you're Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, if you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, is to come and to step on the earth during your time period, then you are his ummati. You are his ummati. Right? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was the card that trumps all in one way. He was so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal. Right, he had such a lofty status that if you were to look closely in the Quran, it is even reflected in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to address Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose a, you know, ajeeb and honorable way to even address Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you see that if there's someone that you honor or that you respect, you don't take them by their, you don't talk to them by their first name generally, right? You say mom or dad. You don't say Frank or, you know, Jennifer. You address them with a name that, you know, a mom or mom, mother dear or something like that shows respect and honor. Now look, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He says, "Tilka rusulu faddalna ba'duhum ala ba'd." Right? These are the messengers. Faddalna ba'duhum ala ba'd. We have raised and set some of them over others. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used, first of all, there's like layers of, if you want to call it, ambiguity. Rasulullah says, first of all, is not referred to directly by name. He thinks there are some messengers. Right? And when he said some messengers, the plural form, they say ismi ishara, this is, first of all, the ismi ishara is, what do we call it in English? Demonstrative pronoun. Right? This, that, these, those. So this demonstrative pronoun that is used in the English language, it can be used in the singular or it can be used in the plural. In the Arabic language, it can be used in the singular, the dual, or the plural. You can say hadha, you can say hadhani, or you can say haulai. And in Arabic, they have, you know, they have lil qareeb and they have ba'ida too. So to indicate something that is close, you say this. To indicate something which is far, you say that. So if you want to say this in Arabic, you say hadha. If you want to say something that is far, you say thalik. Right? That's why in the beginning of the Quran, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Alif lam mim. He didn't say this is هذا الكتاب لا ريب فيه. He said ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه. Something far, because it is something, anything that is high, it is far from you. Right? So by showing distance, sometimes it's for azma, to show the grandeur of something. So in the same way, look at the construction over there. When he talks about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? He didn't say huwa, right? He didn't say he said tilka, right? Tilka rasul, something ba'id, something far, something lofty. And again, he didn't mention him by name. فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. We have raised some of them over others. Yani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been raised as the Anbiya. Now, as far as the Anbiya go, in their nubuwa, لا نفرق بين أحد من الرسل. We don't differentiate between any of the prophets. This is a general principle of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. In their prophethood, there is no difference amongst them. They are all the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jalla. But to show that some have merit and that some have rank, right? That is not against the dictates of one's aqidah. So, when you look at what we were saying, that when we look in the Quran, right, the Quran is replete with examples. One other example that comes to mind, for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relates how the nations spoke to their prophets, many of them would take the prophet's first name. So, قالوا يا موسى, they said, "Oh Moses, لن نصبر على طعام واحد." We're not going to be satisfied with one food. So how did they meet? How did they address them? They said, "Ya Musa." Right? When Isa alayhi salam is being addressed, "Ya Isa," they talked to them directly. When it came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not feel it befitting that the Sahaba call him Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly. So what did he say? "La taj'alu du'a ar-rasuli ka du'a'i ba'dikum ba'da." Do not make the way that you call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam the way that you talk to one another. Meaning there needs to be some mark of distinction. You need to address him separately. You need to address him in a different way. And that's why you read the hadith literature. How often do you see the Sahaba taking Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's name? Right? Hardly. You say, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, right? Or نَبِيَ اللَّهِ, or "My mother and sacrifice be upon you." Right? Reverting him to it indirectly, but they did not take his name directly. Right? What is this showing? Is showing the mark of respect. How much respect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal himself will to accord to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So much so that he himself says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we have elevated your mention. When the adhan is given, my name will be mentioned, your name will be mentioned. When someone wants to become a Muslim and enter into the deen of Islam, my name will be mentioned, your name will be mentioned. Every time my slaves will sit to pray five times a day, they cannot finish in their very prayer, they will have to mention your name. Right? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Right? It's sunnah, right? The prayer occurs without the salawat, but the person is, you know, musi for leaving it. So, example after example after example to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed, right, deliberately to raise the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then if you were to look in the lives of the Sahaba rizwanullahi ta'alayhim ajma'in, you see that when he was, I'll give you one more example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to the Sahaba, right, or he addresses, he says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, la tarfa'u aswatakum." Do not raise your voice فوق صوت النبي, higher than the voice of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم بعضا أن تحبط أعمالكم وأنتم لا تشعرون. And don't talk to him like you talk to each other. If you do so, right, lest that all your good deeds that you have done, your salah, your zakah, your so much, all of it will have gone in vain. I mean, take it, and you know, we talked about this in a previous week, حَبْتِ amal, that you take your good deeds and just put it in the garbage. Right? It's not like you have done the good deed and you know it's there forever. They can be lost. And this is one way they could have been lost. When Thabit bin Qais, radiallahu ta'ala an, when he heard this, and he was the Khatib al-Ansar, right? He was the preacher of the Ansar. When he heard this, he was so overwhelmed. He was so overwhelmed, he just stayed at home. He wouldn't come out. And Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, and he said, I need to go find out what's going on. So he went and asked Thabit radiallahu anhu. He said, what's going on? How come you don't even leave your house? He said, I used to be in front of Rasulullah, and there's some times that I raised my voice in front of him. And now I've lost all my good deeds. I'm destined for hell. Who is saying this? The Khatib of the Ansar, the preacher of the Ansar. So Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala, and he went back to Rasulullah and he told him this. Right? He told him this, and what did Rasulullah say? He said, no, he's not from the people of hell, he's from the people of heaven. Right? Subhanallah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when this ayah was revealed, it's narrated that he said that, Ya Rasulullah, after this day, I shall not speak to you except in whispers. This is a tremendous amount of respect. The Sahaba, when they used to sit with Rasulullah, they would not raise their eyes. They would keep their eyes down. They would not ask questions. They would speak, if they had to speak, they would speak in a soft tone. It would say that when they would come and knock at his door, they would knock with their nails. Right? Right? So softly, not with their hands, lest any disrespect occur with Rasulullah. Ever so softly, just to notify that they're there, that's how they would knock at his door. And they would say that when they would sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would sit with so much respect, they would be and silent and so still that it was as if birds were perched on their head. Anytime, I mean, you all remember when you were young and you've gone to the park, you see birds sitting in the park. And when you're young, you want to go and touch the birds, right? You want to go and catch the birds. So you go slowly and then you keep quiet. And then you go slowly and even if you make a little movement, then all the birds fly away and then you say, okay, next time when they come down, I'm going to go try again. Imagine if the bird is perched on you, how still you would have to be. And this is how it is described, how the Sahaba Rizwanullahi Ta'alayhim Ajma'in used to be, that they would be sitting with adab, their hearts would be full of love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would be sitting silently as if birds were perched upon their heads. Right? That is the type of adab, that is the type of manners that they would show to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this amount, these mannerisms, right, and this amount of respect that was accorded to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it didn't end. It wasn't only to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was alive. Right, this continued even after he had passed on, because he's alive in his grave. Right, we know that for a surety. So that's, for example, that is one of the adabs when you go and meet, when you go and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If anyone, for example, the first adab is anyone goes to Ka'batullah, anyone goes to Bayt al-Haram, they should also go and visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina, because it's inappropriate that you go so far and you don't visit the Messenger of Allah. Number one. Number two, when you go and actually visit Rasulullah and you send salam and you say assalamu alaykum, ya Rasulullah, you should say it in a soft voice. You should say it with humility. You should not say it with any type of arrogance or any type of, you shouldn't even say it casually. You should be full of reverence and homage before Rasulullah. You should speak to him as if he was there. Right? As you had spoken to him, if he were alive, that is the way. So many people say that, oh, if Rasulullah were alive, I would do this. And if Rasulullah were alive, I would talk like this. And if I ever got a chance to meet him, I would do this. But you have a chance. Right? If he was ever going to meet him, I would meet with him with this type of external appearance. And I would do this and this. He's alive in his grave. If you want to meet him, go and meet him. Right? And meet him with due respect. So then when the ball actually, when it comes to come to play the game, then, you know, then we know how much we walk the walk and how much we talk the talk. They respected him so much. Aisha radiallahu anha, if someone was nailing something in the Masjid Nabawi, she said, no nail here or close to Masjid Nabawi, because it will disturb Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ali radiallahu anhu, when he would have a door made, a wooden door, he would have them made far away from the masjid. He said, I don't want to bother Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is after he passed away. A person came, he was sitting in Masjid Nabi, and Umar radiallahu anhu, he came and he found, this person I believe was speaking loudly. He said, where are you from? And he told him that I'm from such and such a tribe, and it turned out that he was from Ta'if. He said that, so he said, okay, fine, this person doesn't know the mannerism. He said, if I knew that, if you were from the people of Medina, I would have punished you. Right? How dare you raise your voice in the house, in the mosque of Rasulullah. Right? This is Umar Farooq. This is after the passing away of Rasulullah. That's not when he was alive. Now, look at Imam Malik. Right? Imam Malik, rahimahullah. It is said of him that when he would walk in Medina, he would walk against the walls. Because he said, how do I know these are the same streets that Rasulullah would walk on? How can I put my feet where Rasulullah put his feet? And it is said about Imam Malik that when he would relieve himself, he would go to the outskirt of Medina and he would use the bathroom in such a way, obviously in seclusion, that his body was in Medina, but the excrement would fall outside of Medina. And the reason, because Imam Malik for his entire life, he never left Medina. And the reason, because he didn't want to be buried anywhere far away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How much love he had. So he said that this way I don't fall out, I don't desecrate the city of Medina, but at the same time I don't leave the outskirts of Medina, that were I to die, I am still fall and die in the land of my beloved. Right? This is like all the time he was thinking. He was one time having a discussion with Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Khalifa Mansur, and they got into debate. And the Khalifa started raising his voice a little bit, and he said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, do not raise your voice in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." He didn't care who it was. He says, "You could be who you are, but you're not." And he had 500 armed soldiers with him. It didn't matter to him. He said, "You're not raising your voice in front of my beloved. You're not raising your voice in front of my beloved." This is how much love, how much reverence. And because of this amount of reverence that they had for him, right, he had for him, there was not a night, it is said, that would pass except that Imam Malik, rahimahullah, would have seen Rasulullah in his dream. Not a night. Someone asked him that, you know, why do you do such and such? Like he was showing some type of adab, and he said, you know, maybe it seemed extreme to the person. And he said, why do you do this, or why do you act like this? And he says, لَوْلَا رَأَيْتَ مَا رَأَيْتُ or worse to the effect that if you were to see what I have seen, then you would not have, you know, commented as such. And every single night he was seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in, he goes on the occasion of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. This is obviously when Rasulullah was alive. He goes on the occasion for the negotiations. They keep him back. And they said that Rasulullah, he cannot make tawaf. Now imagine how much the Sahaba loved the Kaaba. How much they loved the Haram. How much they wanted to make tawaf. They said to Uthman radiallahu anhu, he said, fine, we'll grant you permission. Right? But not them. And he said, how can I make tawaf? Right? And my friend is not by my side. And when he came back, they said, Uthman radiallahu anhu, did you make tawaf? He said, were they to have kept me for an entire year, I would not have made tawaf without my beloved, without my friend Rasulullah. If I were going to be tawaf, it is at the side of Rasulullah, by the side of my master. Otherwise, there's nothing happening. When they sent Urwa to go and check out and scope out the situation and the situation of Hudaybiyah, right? What happened? He said that I've seen the kings of Persia and the Turk and all these. I mean, people, I've seen the, you know, kings, the Muluk, but I've never seen anyone respected like Rasulullah. This was the way, and even our scholars in our near past, right? Look at Mawlana Nanatwi, rahimahullah. When he would enter into Medina, he would not walk with his, you know, with his shoes on, because he felt that, you know, shy to do so. Someone actually gave him some green sandals. When someone gave him the green sandals, he took the sandals because it's sunnah to actually accept any type of gift someone gives you. So he had to fulfill the sunnah, but he never wore it. Someone asked him, he said, why do you keep those green sandals but never wear it? He said, how can I put something on my feet that bears the same color to the dome above the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is the adab they had. Someone once brought some cloth from Medina to Maulana Gangohi, and they presented to him. They said, "This is some cloth, and it's from Medina." And then Maulana Gangohi, rahimahullah, he took it and he put it in his eyes and he kissed it. And he said, "It's not made in Medina. It's just I brought it from there." He said, "If it even touched the air of Medina, then I will honor it." Right? That is the way they showed honor to anything that was connected to Rasulullah. So, no, in weeks past, like, you know, 1 week we talked about the adab with the Quran, 1 week we talked about adab with Allah. There are certain adab, there are certain etiquettes that need to be taken with Rasulullah. There is a whole list of adab that need to be adopted when you actually go and visit Rasulullah for those people who are in that situation. We already referred to some of those. You know, to go humbly, to go in wearing one's best clothes, to go in, you know, in full reverence, to send salat and salam quietly, and then you move on to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, then you move on to Umar radiallahu anhu, and in, there are books which actually teach you the different adab of how to actually comport. But on a practical basis, many people are not going there, you know, on a daily basis. So I wanted to highlight just a couple of practical points of things that we can bring in our life of how to have adab with Rasulullah. So one category is having adab with Rasulullah when you actually go and visit him. Second adab is that, or second manner, is that whenever you hear his name, you should say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he started a matter with he himself. Right? Badal amru bi nafsihi. There's one action, right, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself is doing it. And so when a slave engages in it, he himself is, you know, doing something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. And after that, the angels. And after that, the mu'mineen. What? إِنَّ اللَّهُ مَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Indeed, what does Allah mention first in the Quran? Indeed, Allah. Number one, Allah himself is doing it. وَمَلَائِكَ and his angels. يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. They send salat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ. You send salat on him. So anytime the name of Rasulullah is mentioned in a gathering, meaning his proper name, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then a person should say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? It's actually been said that at least in a gathering, there's differences of opinion. You know, you find different opinions that at least once in a gathering is wajib. But generally a person's adab is that every time the name of Rasulullah, his proper name, is actually mentioned, that a person should say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number one. Number two, adab is that a person should not be so quick to use his proper name all the time. Right? And it's not how the Sahaba addressed him. We instead, generally we say Rasulullah, we say Nabi Allah, so on and so forth. We say Habibullah, but not often we'll just say Rasulullah, but not all the time do we say, use his proper name as a mark of respect. Not to say that it's haram or anything, right? But as a way that we show our reverence to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three, that on a daily basis, people should send salat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? That is why one of our first lessons is that 100 times in the morning and 100 times in the evening, we send salat on Rasulullah. And every time you send salat on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 10 are coming back on us. So who is benefiting? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or us? We are the first to be benefited from that. I don't know if that was four or five. So we should send salam to Rasulullah. Now, the fifth adab is when the adhan is given. Right? When the adhan is given, we should, after the adhan, we should read the dua after the adhan. Allahumma rabbi hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tama wa as-salati al-qa'ima wa ati Muhammadin al-wasila wa ba'athu maqama mahmudan alladhi wa'adtahu innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad. Our Shaykh al-Hadith of Bukhari, he used to say that I feel terrible never to read this dua, because the same person who spent so much of his life never leaving a chance except to make dua for us, how can I forget to make dua for him? Right? So because this dua after the adhan is given, you actually pray for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him the wasila and to give him maqam al-mahmuda, the lofty and praised position in the qiyamah. Right? Maqam al-mahmuda alladhi wa'ata, that you have promised him. Innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad. Number, I don't know what number this is, maybe six, that a person should follow the sunnah in their own life, right? You should never say that this is only a sunnah. from the way that a person walks, a person talks, a person behaves, a person dresses, a person looks, the way they make wudu, the way they pray their salah, every single thing should be fully in accordance with the sunnah. Our teacher would say, our sheikh would say that, you know, there is an ecstasy in finding every sunnah and bringing it into your life. Every little sunnah, you bring it and bring it into your life, you feel happy, right? You feel joy, you feel pleasure in that. So that is another adab with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Final adab is that you should be ready to sacrifice for upholding the sunnah. Right? You should be ready to sacrifice for upholding the sunnah. When you follow the sunnah, you are of necessity living in a heathen society, in a non-Muslim society, you're going to be different. You're going to be so different. You will feel like a stranger. You will feel like an outcast. You will feel like a weird person. You will feel so marginal, right? Marginated, that sometimes it becomes difficult. But it is an adab with Rasulullah ﷺ that you should still hold on to his sunnah despite that. That is a manner, right? That is a way that you show your love for him. When Rasulullah ﷺ, to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, he said, give salam to my, or he said something about his beloved, and the Sahaba said, aren't we your beloved? He said, no, you are my companions. What prevents you to believe in me? The Quran is being revealed in front of you. No, Rasulullah ﷺ was in front of him. I mean, what was there to prevent them? Right? He said, no, my beloved are those people who have never seen me. Right? There are people who had never heard of Rasulullah, and they never heard the voice of beautiful voice of Rasulullah. They never saw the beautiful eyes of Rasulullah. Right? Nothing. But they just heard of him, you know, through hadith or, you know, through a scholar or something like that. And the book has come to them between two slates, meaning that, you know, it wasn't the Quran was revealed in front of them, but it's sitting on a shelf. But they are such people that they will be ready to sacrifice their children for Rasulullah. Those are my beloved. Right, those are my beloved. Those are my lovers. So we need to be the lovers of Rasulullah. And then I'll give one final adab, and then we'll close with this. Is that fine? It may be true that Rasulullah is not with us in person, but anytime you hear a hadith of Rasulullah, then you should listen to it with the same type of etiquette as if you're hearing it from the mouth of Rasulullah himself. I mean, you take Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. He would not enter a single hadith into his book, into his sahih, except that he would make ghusl, forget about wudu, except for ghusl, and that he would offer two rakats nafil. This is the way they honored the hadith. So at least when a person is listening to hadith, they should start to be in a state of wudu. Right? If they're teaching hadith, they should be in a state of wudu. If they can't, they should try to make tayammum. This is an adab of with the hadith. And when the hadith is being read, then a person should listen to it attentively, even if you heard the hadith before. Even if you know the hadith, you memorize it, you're a shaykh al-hadith. But it's because it is coming from your beloved, right? It's because it's coming from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person should actually listen to it, quietly. I'll give you one example. Right, that the teacher of Imam Bukhari, when hadith used to be narrated, he didn't like anyone to talk. Right, when that was being hadith was being narrated, and people said, why is that? And he says, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, going back all the way back to one of the verses I read in the beginning, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi. Do not raise your voice above the voice of Rasulullah. So he said that no, virtually when the hadith is being mentioned, it is the voice of Rasulullah. And I don't like that people should raise their voice over the voice of Rasulullah. This is the adab they had even over a written text that, you know, embodies the words of Rasulullah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the appropriate adab with Rasulullah, with his sunnah, with his ways, and allow us to hold on to it and never let go of it. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.